You're listening to the MoneyWeb Now podcast series with Simon Brown. Live streamed every weekday at 6:30 a.m.
It's Monday, 13 September. I'm Simon Brown, coming at you live and loud from the MoneyWeb studios in Houghton, Johannesburg. On the show today, chatting with Nick Kuntz. Were a bad week last week for the JSE. Are we going to bounce? Rand maybe through 14. Gareth Elston from Reachway Global, the future for office space. We've seen lots of news coming through around that. Most of it seems to suggest less in the future. And then Sharon Blair, she's the CEO of Hyplat. We want to talk hydrogen fuel cells. You know, all these CEOs, PGM CEOs, refer to hydrogen as a green metal, so the what, the where, the how, and that is hydrogen fuel cells. This show is brought to you by Stanlib. Visit stanlib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Morning headlines from MoneyWeb. Imperial Logistics minority shareholders unhappy with DP World's buyout offer. Current offer not a fair representation of the company's true worth. I agree with that assessment, but you know, you can't blame DP World, right? The stock was trading at those prices. They come along, they put the premium, and they make the offer, and then see how the vote goes. Business day, PSG backs SA Inc. stocks to outperform global peers. They say the valuation gap between the expensive and cheap parts of the market has reached dot-com levels. Morning markets, US was red on Friday. S&P and NASDAQ both 0.8% down. Asia's mixed with Sydney up 0.2, Tokyo down 0.3. Commodities green over the weekend. Gold 17.94, Rand 14.21. Top 40 opening call just moved again. 310 points to the downside. That's a little over 0.5%. That as Tencent trades down 3.7% at lunch in Hong Kong.
MoneyWeb Now on the money. Also available on podcast.
Training now with Nick Kuntz, Portfolio Manager, Sunlum Private Wealth. Nick, morning. Appreciate the early morning. I said in the intro there, I mean, a bit of a horror week for the JSE last week, off some 5%. Obviously, Naspers 10 cent, but a bit of selling across the board. From a technical perspective, broken out of that channel we've been in. Your take for the weekend, is your sense that this is going to get more aggressive, or perhaps do we start to see some buyers starting to come in?
Yeah, morning, Simon. Yeah, for JSE shareholders, I mean, a volatile week last week, a tough week. And also, I mean, you know, we forget here in South Africa, the rest of the world too. I mean, the S&P had its first 5-day down, sort of consecutive down days in a row in a long time, better part of 2 years. But I think to put into perspective, I think we're a little bit carried away with the headlines. I mean, that 1.5, there was only a 1.5% down move in the S&P. Yes, it was 5 days. Yes, it felt a lot worse than it was. And if you looked at some of the indicators, like the VIX over almost 22%, it feels a lot worse than it was. For me, Simon, I think we're going to take a little bit of guidance from, we're heading into the notoriously sort of volatile end of September, early October time of the markets. We know what that normally does. You know, nerves start to kick in. Where's it going to from here? I think we're going to have to take guidance from the numbers. I mean, we've got a lot of stuff out this week. We've got a lot of US figures, we've got a lot of PPI numbers, retail sales on Thursday as well. And once again, let's see what comes out of China, because at the moment the rhetoric continues to bash us poor old Naspers and processed shareholders for now.
Yeah, I take your point on that. There is a fair bunch of data this week, and that can guide us. You mentioned Naspers and process. I mean, there seems almost no end in sight for that pain. You know, Tencent had bounced quite nicely, and then China just came with another stick and whacked them again. And what, they were 530 Hong Kong dollars, now they're down at 470.
You know, I made a comment to a few clients on Friday. I said, I get so nervous waking up on Sunday mornings with the Chinese regulators tend to come out of the news feeds on Sundays for whatever reason that is. And once again, they did. I mean, they came out again, I think early hours of this morning, though, a little bit later, with the idea that they want to, Beijing wants to break up Alipay. That's that, the super app that's owned by Jack Ma's Ant Group. You know, it's one of the biggest sort of lenders in the world, quite frankly. Yeah. And a talk again of regulating that space. And of course, Chinese tech once again getting hit. But, At some point, you know, valuation does always kick in for long-term investors, and those things are looking cheap. But you got to circumnavigate a lot of noise that's in the market right now.
Yeah, there is, and certainly as you say, China likes the Sunday evening announcement, or Sunday evening our time, I suppose.
Ruins my Mondays.
Ruins our Mondays. Iron ore. I mean, you've been tracking iron ore. Mm. It's been under massive pressure. My sense is no real surprise that 200 plus price on iron ore was always a little bit of a crazy price.
It was never sustainable. The question is where is the fair value? I mean, even the miners and the refiners coming out saying, you know, you can't have iron ore at 200. It just doesn't make sense. And those who know the metals market, there is bucket loads of iron ore around the world. You know, you dig anywhere, you get it. It's not exactly a shortage. So yes, that's right. But I mean, 45% from its highs. I mean, it concerns me though that the super dividends that the iron ore guys have been paying out, you know, the earnings are going to, if it sits around here for a while, those earnings are going to take a bit of a knock. Long term, I think the plays, you know, there's still the play, infrastructure spending, mm-hmm. U.S. market, you know, $2 trillion infrastructures in America. The Chinese are going to want to start stimulating. The long term play is still intact. But maybe let's get used to iron ore, maybe rather around sort of, 120, 130, not 200. Although it must be said, our local iron ore guys like iron ore, I mean, like Kumba, you know, their sort of price, which they get profitable at, is anywhere north of sort of 40. So they're still making money. Don't get too worried about that.
Yeah, they are. They're making bucket loads of money. And I take your point. You pretty much scratch anywhere on earth, you're going to find iron ore. Kumba's got some good stuff, but they're still going to make some serious profits there. Nick Coons, Portfolio Manager, Sunlum Private Wealth. Appreciate the time this morning.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money.
Chatting now with Gareth Elston, CIO at Reitway Global. Gareth, appreciate the early morning time. I'm going to chat office space. We've seen in the US with the sort of the Delta variant taking the storm, a lot of large companies saying, you know, we're going to delay the return to the office. I think most recent was Microsoft just the other day, and they said, we don't have a date in mind, but, you know, at some point. Longer term for office, though, even as they come back, I mean, office is going to be under pressure.
Yes, good morning, Simon. Yeah, it's certainly a sector that's been under pressure for about a decade now, actually. And, you know, if you look at the returns versus most of the other REIT sectors, it definitely has been lagging. And it's not just, it's the US, it's the UK, Europe, all the way down here as well. So definitely a sector that has been under sustained pressure, and COVID certainly hasn't helped.
You make that point about the decade, because you had a Reitway Global at a great webcast last week, and the talk around office was that this isn't a COVID phenomenon. It kind of predates that. Was it simply too much stock in the system? The likes of WeWork, who said, you know what, you don't need an office. We can rent you space by the desk, by the day, sort of thing.
It would be a part of it. I mean, you know, if you look at IWG, which Regus is part of, you know, they have a much, much larger portfolio than WeWork ever had. And then they had a very limited impact over the years. But it's just been slight changes in the nature of work, also in the nature of what tenants are really willing to pay and what they're looking for. So it's been a slow change. And it's also been, you know, resistance to continually paying more and more for not getting space that probably really adds massive business value. To a large amount of knowledge-based businesses, especially.
I suppose that is the trend. I mean, if we go back a decade, what we have seen is an explosion of sort of internet access, of devices that enable us to work remote. So even if it wasn't an Apple, saying people can work remote, that trend has been growing. The pandemic's just accelerated it. Where does this sector go into the future? The one thing that struck me is chatting with one of the Americans in your webcast last week, talking around office conversions, and he was like, no, we don't do that in America at all. What happens to these buildings?
Well, yeah, it's going to be quite interesting to see how it goes. And I think it's probably you'll find that we might be ahead locally here versus some of the large markets who have been forced to have conversions. And you'll probably start to see in time they'll be forced to change if they have this much excess space. And you'll start to see a change into potentially residential, into, you know, even locally here. We have an office block that's been turned into a sports shop, for example, in the suburb here. So it's who knows where it ends up. But eventually the space will get, if there's enough vacant space, landlords globally are not going to have much of a choice but to try and repurpose it and or either, you know, just bash it down and build something else in its stead. But I think the long-term growth for the sector is going to be under pressure. Probably short-term might be some bounces as people start to rotate back into the sector as people return to work. But long-term, the pressure is not going away.
So my sense is then, I take your point in a bounce. We're going to get, you know, the folks coming back. Although, you know, locally Nedbank has said 3 days a week. Momentum has said we need 30% less space. And that's usually not the head office. I remember when I worked for Standard Bank in the city, they owned all the Simmons Street. But then they had Commissioner and Alexander and all those sort of auxiliary buildings sort of go out the way. Is it then just a space we stay away from? The REIT, particularly globally, is a large sort of space. Lots of other areas we can look at which are going to do us better returns. I'm thinking self-storage. I'm thinking towers and infrastructure.
Yeah, I think in general terms, bog standard sort of vanilla office space is not going to be an exciting sector to be in for a while, but there are other subsectors within office that are interesting. Mm-hmm. So for example, life science has been a fabulous sector over the last 5 years, and over the last year and a bit with COVID, obviously has become even hotter. So it there will be a change and a move into subsectors that become more interesting, but your standard sectors, it's not going to be there.
Okay, so office just remains a tough spot. And of course, the point being in South Africa is our REIT market is just so less developed. Broadly, we have got sort of office, retail, and industrial / logistics. And that puts the South African REIT investor in a tighter squeeze when looking at the options on the JSE.
But as we've moved on year by year, we started to see more specialized sectors coming on, more industrial and warehousing focused, mm-hmm. Storage as well. So it's evolving. It's getting there. And I think, you know, and even with some of the large local ones, you've started to see them try and move into some of the specialized sectors. For example, Growthpoint is, yep. I don't know if there's a sector they're not in at the moment, which again is, do you want a conglomerate or a specialist? It's up to you.
Yeah. And we've seen that in Fortress as well. Specifically, I think seeing our REITs becoming perhaps a little less generalist, as we see in the case of our REIT. Gareth Alston, CIO, REITway Global, appreciate the time this morning. Our question to you on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles is around office. I mean, we've seen talk of returning to the office that constantly gets delayed. But when it starts to happen, are you planning to go back to the office, or are you happy at home? Maybe a few days a week at the office, or maybe, frankly, you miss your colleagues and you miss the water cooler talk, to say it. You can have your vote. You can have your say on our LinkedIn and Twitter profiles.
We all have different investment needs. Some of us want to preserve our money for retirement, and others to create wealth for the next generation. At Stanlib, we have a team of investment specialists that can help you achieve any investment goal. So whether your money is looking for more certainty, more return, or more impact through your investments, we have a solution for your investment needs, no matter the time horizon. Join us over the next few months as we provide insights into the solutions we offer to meet your money needs. To find out more, visit stanlib.com or speak to your financial advisor. Stanlib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. License number 719.
MoneyWeb now. On the money. Also available on podcast.
Chatting now with Sharon Blair, CEO of Highplat. Every time we chat with the PGM miners, they tell us they talk around PGM as a green metal, and they're deeply bullish on it. But you know, it's like gold miners are always bullish on gold. So I thought let's get a sort of an independent person in to help us understand this green energy in terms of the platinum group metals. Sharon, appreciate the early morning time. There certainly is a market there, an industry there, which the platinum group metals do play into, which is green energy, and this is largely around transportation.
Absolutely. And that would be the fuel cell market. Mm-hmm. Fuel cells, the 50% of a fuel cell cost is platinum. And South Africa owns or has about 80% of the world's platinum, and fuel cells are being developed for integration into fuel cell vehicles. So your regular cars, trucks and buses can be run on fuel cells. These are on the market today already, and the importance is that all they emit is water.
Yeah.
So it's a great replacement for the internal combustion engine.
At the moment, you know, that certainly the news in terms of green transportation seems to be dominated by the Teslas of the world, and of course that's lithium ion in that particular place. Lithium ion has a place, but you know, the fuel cell sector is there and coming. You mentioned, I mean, Toyota released a fuel cell vehicle in the US just last year. Walmart and Amazon use them quite extensively within their warehousing. This is not a race that is over and has been won by lithium ion. This is something where both can coexist, and fuel cell perhaps just isn't getting the media, but is out there and happening.
Absolutely. There's a place for both. The fuel cell vehicle will give you a longer range than the battery electric vehicle. And so there's niche places for both. And as you say, they are on the market today. Both Toyota and Hyundai have released vehicles. It's just a matter of time. We need hydrogen fueling stations in order to actually make the market take off.
You mentioned the range of the hydrogen fuel cells, and you mentioned buses a moment ago. And my sense is also for larger vehicles, I'm thinking the 22-wheeler trucks that go between Durban and Johannesburg, who would need so many batteries, and with that range, is that there sort of comes a tipping point in terms of size where actually lithium ion is too heavy, too long to charge, and that's going to be the sweet spot for those hydrogen fuel cells.
Absolutely. Like a fuel cell vehicle takes 3 minutes to refill the fuel tank. And it really is not an either or. Like, in buses, you can just add a fuel cell and extend the range of the bus.
Mm-hmm.
So there's lots of ways that batteries and fuel cells work beautifully together.
Yeah, and 3 minutes, that certainly does start. You don't have to stop. Yeah. You don't have to stop in Harrismith for 4 hours to recharge. You can literally do it in a minute or two. Sharon Blair, CEO of Hyplat, really appreciate the time this morning, making us smarter about hydrogen fuel cells and the PGMs and the Platinum Group CEOs. You always talk bullishly about platinum as a green metal. That's it for the show today. The poll we were asking you on Friday was, we'd been chatting around cryptocurrencies, and most notably Solana, with Kieran Ryan and Sean Saunders from Revix. We were asking if what about good old-fashioned Bitcoin, which of course, you know, is the grandfather of cryptos. Is it your preferred crypto? Just under a third of you said absolutely. Bitcoin is the one that matters. But just over 40% were no, some alts as well. And that's what I've learned chatting with Sean over the last year from Revix, that really these altcoins are really powering along and becoming significant. Just under 30% of you said nope, no crypto for you at all. Remember, you can have your vote, you can have your say, LinkedIn and Twitter, and you can also vote on today's poll, which is around offices. This show is brought to you by StanLib. Visit StanLib.com to get in touch with one of their investment specialists. StanLib Asset Management is an authorized financial services provider. Remember, we are live every weekday morning on the MoneyWeb website and the app, 6:30 a.m. Podcast available just after 7 on the MoneyWeb website, app, and of course wherever good podcasts are found. Huge thanks to my team, Eddie, Kodora, Nicole, to you for listening, my guests for their early morning contributions. My name is Simon Brown. This is MoneyWeb Now. We'll chat again tomorrow.
You've been listening to another MoneyWeb Now podcast, posted every weekday at 7 a.m. on moneyweb.co.za. MoneyWeb Now. On the Money.